And you are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ in Molawa, and K284AL in Haleiwa. You can find us on the dial at 90.9 FM in Honolulu, 91.9 FM island-wide, 92.7 FM on the Hola in Molawa, 104.7 to our neighbor island, Oahu, and 95.1 on the cable. And thank you to everyone that listens to us worldwide at kkcr.org. Living Sovereign is up next with Auntie Poo and Nani Rogers. Living Sovereign is made possible by the great listeners like you and Chinyang Village, Kauai Coffee, and Kala Hill Chiropractor.
Chinyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Chinyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate grown Kauai coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Kalaheo Wellness Center. Natural pain relief services. Providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Auto accident, workman injury cases, and most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday. Now a second location in Kapa'a, 8220711, or Southside Center, 332-5580, or kalaheochiropractic.com.
And we have a special concert coming up, Judy Collins.
Lazar Bear Productions presents An Evening with Judy Collins, Thursday, January 22nd, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. That's singer-songwriter and folk music icon Judy Collins performing on Kauai for one night only, January 22nd, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Information, tickets, and Gold Circle at 808-896-4845 or online at lazarbear.com. That's LAZARBEAR.com.
And mahalo nui loa. Thank you so very much for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
Living in a sovereign land. Yep. In the old
Evelino Maikako, greetings and welcome to our Living Sovereign radio program. It's Monday, January 5th, 2015. I'm so happy to be here and to greet all of you, listeners, friends, and to wish you all a very happy, healthy, safe, and prosperous New Year. How oli makahiki ho, everybody. Aloha. This is Puanani Rogers, your hostess for Living Sovereign, and happy to have you join us this evening. has everybody been enjoying the cold weather? Uber. I understand it was 58 degrees. Can you believe Hawaiian shivering and it's only 58 degrees? While other people have 38 below zero
minus.
I know. But anyway, it's been fun. I like it. It's the north wind, the cold north wind that sweeps through our islands and brings us that the chilly weather.
Chills the ocean, cleanses everything.
Good. Off. Feels like winter. Supposed to feel that way.
Yeah, we have winter in Hawaii. We had a blizzard up in the Big Island.
Oh, yes, snow.
Was that
Who
bumpy?
Says it doesn't snow in Hawaii?
I mean, we got desert, forest, ocean,
and snow.
We got it all.
All right. And what a great opportunity, too, today to have at our as our guests here in the studio, a gentleman whom I respect and revere for all his hard work that he does to Malama or Aina and to provide our community with poi, the fruits of his labor is poi and kalo. And I'll have him introduce himself.
Aloha, Auntie. This is Adam Asquith.
Hi, aloha. Good. I wanted you to talk because I want the people listening to recognize your voice when you do speak on the mic. Okay.
This is
go
me.
Ahead.
This is me.
Yeah.
I'm so. Thank you so much for having me up. Oh. It's always an honor to that someone values my mana'o, you know, enough to listen. So thank you so much, Auntie.
Oh, it's our privilege to have you here today. Mahalo for being here. All right. I would like to also, at this time, talk about why we have picked today's subject, which is the vai, or the fresh water, the vai-vai of our aina, our wealth of our aina. I don't know why, but for some reason, by the past few days, I hadn't yet picked that subject for the program today, and thinking, oh, wow, this is a new year. It's the first show of the new year for us. And, you know, we're sure completely filled with a lot of blessings that we had received in the past year. I would like to do some review. But anyway, the subject of vai came up to me, came into my mind, and it's been bouncing around in my head for a while. So I thought maybe that is the subject that we should talk about today, because it is life. It is things that we need to turn a new page, to start a new year with the richness of the vai, our water, for everybody on our aina to enjoy. Okay? So, reviewing last year, however, let's go to that first. We'll come back to the subject. Yeah, Adam?
Sure. We'll
talk about the water. So, in fact, one of the first meetings we had last year, January, was a water meeting. January 27th. Do you remember what happened? They wanted to drill horizontally into our mauna to do a water well.
That's right. Remember? Kahili Mountain Horizontal Drill.
Exactly. First thing in the of the year, that's what hit us. Water war is what I call it.
We'll come full circle on that today.
Okay.
Today, right? Because we're gonna come right back around to that.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, I hadn't heard. What I heard was that. Well, first of all, let me tell you, at that meeting we went to, due to all the protests of our people, you know, based on their environmental, their cultural, their, you know, community, social concerns, they protested it and shut down that meeting. That meeting was O-V-E-R. Over. And so that was it. One victory. Small, maybe big victory. I don't know. I love the victories, though, because they don't come too often for us. Right.
Well, it was one battle in a war, but it was won. So
yeah,
that was good.
Okay, yes, but the war's not over.
No.
The war's not over. It continues right now with to protect our water. And so, yeah, this is what Adam does. He protects, preserves our water as well as he can, as much as he can, and in turn teaching others how to, so we can all kokua and help in doing that. And I call out to people in the community that have an interest in helping to restore, protect our water. Get in touch with us. I'll tell you how you can help. So mahalo. Mahalo anui. what else happened last? Oh, Coco Palms Resort is up in the news again. I'm happy that it's going to be fixed. Finally, it's such an eyesore, but I'm not happy with what they're going to do with it. So, I don't know. You know, you can't build another hotel there anymore, is what I think. That's too much negative impact on that fragile flood area, sea level, but sacred Wahipana. It should be treated with loving, tender care and not be inundated by development, concrete, all that bad stuff. Restore the water to how it was. There's a ditch back there that's stuck because they did development down there. So, you know, Cocoa Palms, please keep in touch with the community. Talk to the people again and see if you can somehow come to some kind of decisions to treat the Aina a little bit more carefully. Okay, please. And I know there is a committee, that a cultural committee that they've formed for Cocoa Palms, and perhaps that is where we should be lodging these concerns, and I will. Alrighty, and then big historical event. There was a Hula World Summit, and our island hosted it. A week-long hula conference on Kauai, where thousands of hula dancers and different hula halau from all over the world came and gathered here on our island.
Also being
for a week.
Also being the year of the masters, we had several cultural practitioners at that level come to share their mana'o and their knowledge. And
we were so blessed.
What a time filled with much energy. Even some of us couldn't make many of the events, the energy just permeated throughout
the
island.
I loved it.
It was great.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. Entertainment every evening.
Yeah.
Special guests like Kili'i Rai Shell and I don't know who else. Lots of fantastic entertainment. Lots of hula. Every time they played a song, I knew I was getting off there too, out of there on the grass. Yeah! So it was so Maika. It was a blessing for our island and for our people and for our Aina. It was a blessing for them to all be here with us. So Maika Iloa, mahalo ke akua. And then there was an educational project that I really liked, and it was marking the boundaries of our moku. Our moku boundary signage project was released in May, last May, by Keaoni Smith. And this is what he said about that. Where did I write that? Hold on. I'm just jumping all over. He said, Kauai is experiencing a new era that integrates our cultural history with 21st century technology. You know what that makes me think? From the tarot patch to the computer. You know what I mean, Adam? Yeah?
We see that at the farm a lot, actually. When the school groups come down, they get in the low E, but they are on their computers right on the Kauai when they get out.
I know. What a concept, though,
yeah.
You know, from the Aina to technology. And it's a good match if you know how to use it right.
Well, in the famous words of Jerry Santos and Olomana, right?
Yes.
He sings, "Change is a strange thing; it cannot be denied." And so, the measure of our community is how we direct and accept that change, right? And that's part of it. Technology is not going away.
Yeah.
It has good and bad aspects, and as long as we use it to improve our community,
exactly,
it's okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
And for me, it's the greatest knowledge resource for knowledge. Yep. And I love the instant communication, too. Just a click and it's gone. It's in cyberspace. Right to your friend's computer. Bing! You got email.
Real Star Trekking.
Yeah, I know. Technology, and then now I've got this smartphone, too. I'm just learning how to use it, or a mini pad. It's going on and on forever, evolving, changing.
They need an Olelo app, right?
Yes.
Are they really?
Oh, there we go. Yeah. A tutorial app, because that candle is that good.
Yeah, Auntie, we had a caller who shared his mano about cocoa palms and that slab that needs to be taken out and should be taken out.
Which slab?
Over cocoa palms. Mm-hmm. That whole slab area. I mean, because the water used to flow there.
I know what he means.
His yeah, from
I totally agree,
sir. Both sides. And
yes.
That maybe have Kamehameha schools and Department of Homeland work on this project of restoring it. Restoring that whole area with the lo-i and
that's why the subject is water.
That's right. And it's education.
Because that is a stream that needs to be malamad. Yes,
and from his perspective, he shared that it if you're in the tourist business, that this should, that's what tourists want to see.
Natural.
To see it. Yeah, experience it. So, mahalo to our caller.
Yes, mahalo.
Mahalo, uncle.
That is like referring to what we're going to talk about too later on, and that's water diversions. But that's not a diversion. What do you call that? A water stopping a stream. Criminal. What happened to that? It's just sitting there, yeah? That water. Does it run at all?
No, they've got, well, you mean...
Under the highway?
Well, they've, you know...
Like cocoa palms at the shell I'm talking about.
It comes back, you know, they've dug, there's a culvert and a ditch that allows those fish ponds to still intermingle with the river. So it kind of comes through there. Yeah, but it, you know, I don't know what they did when they built the road, you know, when they I've heard stories, you know, of how many rocks they had to put down to make a solid foundation for the road and the bridge and so forth. So a lot of changes.
But, you know, on the other side of the road, though, there was always this wash, like the stream
I see what you're talking about. Yeah,
you remember?
Yeah.
There was this place where it looked like water would go. I don't know if it was just rain runoff or was it coming from underneath the road. If so, maybe that road can collapse one day. We better watch out.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, the water, you know, all the way from... Golly, you know.
Yeah, what is the
From Hanama'ulu all the way to Kealia, you know, the water seeped through. That was all one long series of sand dunes.
Oh, yeah.
And the water would collect in these beautiful wetlands and lo'i and fish ponds, mauka of those sand dunes, and slowly percolate through all along the coastline. So the kahawai, the streams, were only the kind of the surface part of the flow that we could see.
Yes.
Much of the water was moving underground. Yeah. And of course, the chant, Kabayakani, tells us that.
I brought it.
Moving under, right. It moves it moves everywhere, right?
Yes.
Including underground, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Kapa'a itself a lot of marshland.
Absolutely, yeah. And you can see that even today, it still happens to some degree, even though we've dug the drainage canals. If you walk off the bike path, right, in the old way along the Kai, along there, and you'll see Limu Ele'ele, which is
Have stream water.
That's right. Unique.
It
requires that, and that fresh water is flowing underground through the old sand dunes.
Yeah.
But at one time, it was even much bigger, right? And we see, you know, we still have black and white photos of the old, the last flood in Kapa'a Town, before they built the drainage. And but that was the natural cycle.
Oh, yes. It was all like swampy area at one time until they built those canals and drained it. Yeah.
Low-E and fish ponds of course, yeah.
If only you could restore that. Yes, yes. Then the birds will come back to the waterfall and, wow.
What a vision, huh?
What a vision. I love it. But, you know, speaking of the water of Kani, did you know that it was a Kauai poetic chant?
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't realize that. It's a beautiful chant. Talks about, the water of Kani.
It shares so much information, including about the many different names of the clouds and the different names of the rainbows and waters. And
this mele comes from Kauai, the island which more than any other of the Hawaiian group remains a tight hold on the mystical and imaginative features that mark the anthropology of Polynesia, the island also which less than any other of the group was decided by the glamour of glamour of royalty and enslaved by the theory of the divine both of kings. Awesome.
Well, we'll see if that remains true for our community.
Yeah. You know this, Jack. Your boy knows it.
Indeed.
Yes,
yeah.
They do. They learned it at Kanui Kapono.
At Kawaikini also.
Oh, Kawaikini.
Yeah.
He's there now at Kawaikini. Oh, my ka'iloa.
Yeah.
And he olelo hawa'i my ka'iloa too. Okay. Then the last big event from last year that I wanted to mention was a really history-making event, and that was when the Department of Interior of the United States of America came to our islands for hearings, asking us certain questions and saying that they were offering to help us to build a nation. I'm sure all of you know what happened. We had two hearings on Kauai, one in Waimea, one in Kapaa at the cafeteria at Kapaa Elementary School, where I happen to work, by the way. So that was interesting. I go to meetings there, too, when I'm not there working. Hundreds of people showed up, folks, hundreds. And I was really disturbed about why they had to have their, you know, DLNR goons or their policemen hanging around with their guns all around the cafeteria, like, you know, what's going on? I mean, we don't have guns.
You're kind of scary to them, Auntie, I think.
Oh, man. I told him, you know what? You guys are terrorists then because you get the guns. Oh, shucks.
We're terrorists.
Yeah, we are. Terrorists. And without our roots, right. What is it? And if we no more roots, then we're radical or something. We'd be radical. Okay, so that was really interesting because it caused many other effects in the community, and one that I am totally familiar with. Oh, by the way, everybody said a'ole. It was a huge a'ole. It was the headlines of the newspaper, in fact, a big a'ole in regards to the DOI hearings. Every island. It was eye-openers for everybody because, wow, we did so good. Hearing what our people know now about our history and our political status is amazing because a lot of us are also on the same page, which is the hardest thing to do when we want to rebuild our nation, getting people to be on the same page. But that's what we're doing, and that's what we're going to keep doing anyway.
Importantly, Auntie, that you're on the same page as your kapuna were with both the Kuʻe petition and the dozens of protest songs that the kapuna scripted when they tried to do this the first time, right?
Exactly.
And their manaʻo was this.
It's like another overthrow.
Some of their manaʻo was this. Aʻole makoa I mina mina, I ka puʻuka lao ke aupuni. Ualava mako ika po haku ika ai kamahao ka aina. What they said, that was from Kalananapua.
I know.
And what they were saying is, take your big pile of government money and stuff it.
Uh-huh.
We will eat rocks if we have to before we sell our land.
Right.
So you are on the scene. So this is what your kapuna were telling the government 100 years ago.
Yeah.
You're right on.
And that was in my testimony to DOI, too. I told them that I was there because I want to go on record that my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren to see one day. you know, that my name is on record as speaking against this.
That's right.
Yeah. And oh, mahalo ke akua too, because, oh, our people that came out, they made me cry, some of them. That their heartfelt stories. You know, our struggle is not, it's still sore. We have a sore on our body and we can't get rid of it. And maybe it looks like there's a scab on it, but it's still there. It never healed. So this is the sore that we have been bearing for 122 years since the overthrow. And since the United States lied and said that they annexed us, when they did not. There is no treaty of annexation. So all I'm trying to say is to understand what our plight is and why we have to do what we're doing. And all we're doing is trying to protect, preserve, and malama our aina, our vai, all of our resources. At the same time, we're keeping our people healthy.
And carrying on the wishes of your kapuna, which were very explicit. There was no question.
Well, that's because we do the Ahupua'a resource management system, and which is why people, you have to learn which Ahupua'a you live in and get to know the people there, because you have the responsibility and the kuleana to malama that aina that you're living on in your Ahupua'a. But you have to know what is available in your Ahupua'a for food, for gathering, whatever. And from the ocean to the mountains is your kingdom. And so rule it well. You be the chief of your own, you know, kuleana, aina there. And treat the aina like it's your mother. You know? That's all we're saying. And think Ahupua'a. Think sovereign. You are sovereign. And so, then we got to live it. Yep. If we are sovereign, we got to live it. Are we kind of got a halfway point?
Yes, we are.
I see Leilani giving me signal.
Okay.
I'm ready for a pause.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. You're listening to Living Sovereign with Auntie Puanani Rogers. We'll be right back after this break. This music break. We're going to have Brada Is up next. And he's going to play for you, starting all over again. Brand new year. We're going to start them all over and make them good.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
we both know we're gonna make it. We gotta take life as it comes. Never fuss about it, what's right or wrong.
Mahalo nui loa for listening to Kauai Community Radio. We want to make this one announcement. We've got our lost dog. I'm not quite sure what street this is, though. So the person who has the lost dog, please give me a call and make sure we've got the right street. I'm not sure if it's Hulua Street or Wailua Street. Slippery Slide area. You know where that is? Yeah. Here, Kilauea. And it's a tan mixed pit bull, white andal mix. Dog was lost on the 4th and about 3 p.m. on Sunday. So, cherished baby, 5 years old, this baby. So, Tom would like to hear from you if you found this dog, 826-9616. And again, that is a tan mixed pit bull, 5 years old, andal mix. Give Tom a call, 826-9616. And we are back with Living Sovereign and Antipuanani Rogers.
And Adam Asquith.
Aloha, thank you.
Our Kalo Mahi Ai person. Yay. Okay, talking about the water. Here we go. Shall we talk about what a water management area designation means? And I'm asking that question, by the way, to the folks that may not know. There were several workshops here on Kauai put on by Adam and Kapua Sprout Hole.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to educate us on water laws and what are our rights to water. And very, very, very informative. And then we also learned that there is such a thing as that they call a water management area designation. And in particular, our people in the Punamoku, which is from, you know, from where, Hule'ia or Bian or Kipu, all the way to Kealia, do have concerns about where their water is coming from or how come they don't have water. So we're going to find out, because they formed a coalition now, and they're asking if there's some way that they can and get some kind of designation so they can help to control the water, the use of the water. So I had heard that Molokai, the whole island, is designated a water management area. So I sent them an email, and I asked them, you know, about what that was, and because I don't think I even understood it completely myself. So he said, well, Nani, that was so long ago, but there was some good and there was some bad about having that designation. And but, you know, then he referred me to a person that was involved with that, that lives on Molokai. And I said, well, but he said, I got the best because I got Adam and I got Kapua Sproul. Because I already told him about you guys helping us out. Okay, so so where are we at?
Where are we at? Well, let me tell you how we got to where we're at. And it revolves around the first issue that you mentioned that happened last year, and that was the final meeting on the horizontal well that the Department of Water had proposed, right?
That's
and,
right.
And that meeting was a year after the first meeting, right? And in that year, community members asked me for help in understanding, you know, what the project was. Why would they want to drill into the side of the mountain? I mean, you know, we got all this water, you know.
Exactly.
Why would we need to do that? And so I did a little digging and tried to understand myself why, and the Department of Water was actually very helpful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, even though we arguably are on the wet, you know, the wettest spots on Earth with Waialae, and we have this unique geology in the Puna District, where the rocks hold water so well, they're saturated right to the top.
Wow!
So again, it begs the question even more. Wow, we're flooded with water. Why would we have to drill into the side of the mountain? Well, as it turns out, the water in those rocks, like the Kabayakane chant tells us, water is everywhere. And in Puna, it's all in the rocks, because on the recent days we've had, once the rain stopped, and I would, like this morning, I was down in the Teropatchit Kialia looking into the crater of Waialae, there were no waterfalls, right? Once the rain stops.
Well, yeah.
Once the rain stops, there's no water coming off the mountain. It's all in the
soaking.
It's all in the ground already, in the Puna Valley of Puna.
Aye.
And so all our streams flow from springs, not waterfalls like here.
Right.
So in Hanalei, when you look up at Namalukama and the water's pouring off, you know, the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way in Puna. Mm. If you look at Makaleha or Kalalea or Waialae, when it stops raining, there's no water.
There is no water.
You got to look. You got to look down for your water. So, but even then, oh, it's saturated.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is when
aquifers, a lot of aquifers.
In fact, we have one of the biggest aquifers imaginable. So, but here's the problem:
underground natural wells.
Natural. It's saturated all the way to the surface. So,
wow. So
normally that would be wow. We have no problem. Okay. The problem is that the nature of the rocks don't allow the water to move very quickly, which means when they put a well in and you start pumping, it's like sucking on a shave ice. You know, if you suck real fast on a shave ice, all the color,
gone,
and you're looking down at just the ice.
Yeah.
And you got to keep moving your straw to get all the juice. Well, that's what's happening in Lihue.
Hmm.
They started, the wells were running dry, and they had to punch more and more and more and more wells, and pretty soon they're like, whoa.
They have many, many wells.
They got
already,
many wells,
though,
right? They got many, but they needed to keep punching more for more water. In addition to that, they called when they realized they had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They called in the U.S. Geological Survey, who's kind of the government experts, and they called them in and they did a phenomenal study. We have some of the best science available for our water system in Puna, particularly around the Lihue area.
Mm-hmm.
And what they showed is that not only does the water not move very fast through the rock, is that most of it flows to our streams, which is, of course, what we knew, right? When we look up at the mountain,
there's
no water coming off Waialae.
But there's plenty of streams.
Plenty of streams.
Exactly.
So
but that's coming from the waterfalls.
No. not today, not this morning. It's all coming from the ground, coming from that saturated rock. So what they showed, what the government showed, is that when you drill a well in and around Lihue, and you pump 1 million gallons a day, the stream gives up that 1 million gallons a day. You're not really pumping from some deep bucket of water.
Right.
You're pumping from the stream.
The surface water.
Yeah. So that was so that's what one of the things that motivated them to go up and drill in the top of the, you know, in the side of the mountain. They go, wow, we can't.
They said it was because of saving their money because they didn't have to pay for the pump. They would use gravity.
That was, I'm sure that was part of it, and that was part of the justification, all right?
I had to chuckle.
Yeah, so that was part of it, is that they're actually, you know, they were having difficulty keeping enough water into the system from the wells because the ground didn't want to give it up. And whatever you're sucking out of the ground in and around Lihue, you're taking from the streams anyway.
I see.
So we had a problem there, okay? Mm-hmm. So then they wanted to drill into Waialeale, and rightfully so, the people said, whoa, this is one problem.
Yeah.
So the sad thing, Auntie, is what most people, because we're 20 years past the plantation already, much of the plantation, right? What people don't realize or had forgotten is that all the water that they were going to capture with that well is already captured in ditches.
Oh my gosh.
See, because when the, like today, right, when there was no rain, there was no waterfall, if you went, there was still water in the stream and the ditches.
Right.
So the water that was coming out from that puna
was coming from springs.
And it's already captured. So what they didn't explain to you, is that which devil would you like? Would you like the well or would you like the ditches? Because they've taken the water one way or another.
They're going to take it anyway.
They've taken it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we understand the problem much better.
I see.
Every stream, from Wailua, from Wailua south, so the north fork, the south fork of the Wailua, Hanama'ulu, Na'awiliwili, Pu'ali, Hule'ia, and all the tributaries,
Hule'ia.
All those surface waters are 100% diverted. All gone up at the Mauka. They take it all. Now you got to scratch your head because if you drive over the Wailua Bridge, you look down and go, Adam doesn't know what he's talking. Look at all this water down there, right?
Yeah, the river is full.
The river's full, but that's mostly ocean water. If you go Mauka, which you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go all the way to what they call the Blue Hole Diversion, you see it. All the water's diverted. The stream is dry.
It is.
Stream is dry.
Right.
So this has raised some concerns about people who are particularly cultural practitioners, taro farmers, fishermen, and so forth. People who have special standing because those people under state law have special standing for the water.
They do.
They have special standing, right?
Yes, they do.
And they asked what they could possibly do about it, and so they found Kapua Sprout, and Kapua Sprout has been helping them understand
to get that special standing.
Yes. Okay. So here's the issue. So Kapua has helped them understand the water law in Hawaii,
right.
and that as it is now, and many people have. If you just complain. You just complain, right? That's all, and that all it is, right? Responding to a complaint, there's not much teeth in the law for that. So the only way that people have had success in having their traditional rights to water restored is going through the state process, which is a designated water management area.
Mm.
Once that happens, then there's real teeth in the law, okay?
Okay.
And that's what happened on Oahu. That's how they got the water restored to Waiahole Waikani watershed. That's what happened in Nava'eha on Maui. It's what happened on Molokai. It is the only procedure by which the waters have been restored, you know, in the last 25 years.
Restored meaning the diversions were corrected?
Restored meaning that some balance has been restored, right?
Mm.
Nobody, even a taro farmer, I can't ask for all the water, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The fish, Hawaiians didn't take, they didn't leave all the water in the stream for the fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking about taking away the diversions. We're talking about pono, restoring the balance, right? So right now, it's not balanced, right?
Yeah, but some of the diversions are causing the imbalance.
Exactly. So what this process would do is it would allow the process to restore that balance.
Okay.
So how much water can we take? And make sure there's enough for fish. How much water can you take and make sure that that fishermen have? So it's not just the fish. You got to have enough fish so that you can take some still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the process. And there's.
So what is the bad about it then?
What is the bad about it? The bad about it is might be that it's another layer of bureaucracy.
But which means everybody got to get permits to.
That's right.
Use the water.
Use the water. That's right. So
water use, they call it.
Water use permit. So
there's no such thing right now.
There is no such thing.
There is nothing like that to protect water.
No.
Okay, because I can understand for the small farmers and everything, but what about the big guys that can just.
Well, right now,
abuse the power.
So.
So
I don't really do social media. I don't look at blogs and stuff like that. But somebody sent me something regarding this issue. There's some discussion about that it might not be a good idea to give the control of our water to the state. Right? We should keep control of our water here. Right?
That's right.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the problem with that is that's what we have right now. We control our water on Kauai, right?
Oh.
And the person that controls the water is the guy with the biggest stick. So right now we have home rule, right?
Okay, I love it.
And what home rule means is that if you got the biggest stick and I can beat you, right, to the water, and I can keep you away from the water, I rule home.
I see.
Right? So
yeah.
So that works. Home rule works.
What is the biggest stick?
The biggest stick is in the form of kala.
Ah,
right?
Okay. Yeah? Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. So if I get the biggest stick, right? Home rule is great. I don't want the state coming bottom me because I got it under control.
It's a different kind of home rule that I know.
Exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
That's not my interpretation of home rule.
Hey, home rule.
I love home rule, that's why.
Sure.
And I know that ain't it.
Yeah. So, but if you're ruling.
Which is living sovereign in Kalamai.
So the state process would actually return home rule. Right. It would take the rule away from the people who currently control the water, and it would force true home rule. Right.
Okay.
Which would be that hey, everybody in this Ahupua needs access to that water.
Yes.
That's all.
You cannot hoard.
You cannot hoard. You cannot bank it. Right. Hey,
criminal acts.
Yeah.
So, I would like that to be a law it would be a criminal act for people to hoard water.
So what's going to happen, my understanding is that there is a hui that it has formed, and they are, they have worked for 2 years now and working with water users and the county and the state and so forth. And my understanding is that they will soon put forth a petition to have the Lihui area designated as a water management area.
Uh-huh.
Now,
the Lihui area is enough for now. It's a baby step.
It's a baby step. And the reason they're doing that is that the decision to establish a water management area is largely based upon the science, the evidence, right?
Yeah.
And so the reason to do that is that the USGS, they did it. The county paid the USGS.
They did it already.
They did it.
Science.
The science is undeniable.
Beautiful.
Undeniable. Right.
Awesome.
So that's, I think that's the logic behind.
Yeah. So that'll win us.
Well,
we hope.
Okay. So there's.
But it's good ammunition.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be based upon the science, but as always, it's going to be highly political. So for example, they're also trying to designate one on the Big Island in Kailua Kona, and that's highly politicized, terribly so, and the science. May not be quite as good as ours here. So, so the listeners will see this probably coming forth this year.
Okay.
And if they need to
go us, please.
They
I
need
was just
to
ask
yeah.
How
they need
can
to understand They need to both understand the science, and they need to understand the law and how it might help restore that balance.
Okay, understand the science and the law.
And the law.
Okay.
Because that's what's going to rule.
We're just focusing right now on the Lihue area.
Unfortunately.
How big of an area? Not Punamoku.
It is, yeah, that's a good question. So it's basically looking kind of at the groundwater area, right? Because, mm-hmm. and that's important to understand because it's and this is part of the important part of the science is that even though the wells are sucking the water, remember it's pulling it out of the streams.
Yeah.
So even though they're going to propose a groundwater management area, we know from the science is that it's actually coming from the
stream streams. Water management.
Stream water management, right? So basically, where the science was done was the area from the Hulie'i River, the Haupu Mountains,
mm-hmm.
to the South Fork of the Wailua River, which mm-hmm. comes down, you know, just past Ahuaka and Kalepa, the north part of Kalepa.
Okay.
So it's basically from, if you're looking at Opaikar Road and the falls, looking south to Haupu,
mm-hmm.
all that area. And that includes some, the last of our, the open state ag lands are there, the, mm-hmm. the Kalepa lands, thousands of acres of theoretically, you know, public land available mm-hmm. for agriculture. It's where the county has done all its planning and determined to focus all its development in the Lihue area.
Uh-oh.
Even though...
You mean coming
oh,
down
yeah.
the road?
Oh, yeah. See, so
soon?
Sure. So
really?
what we've done, Auntie, is we've said no more developments,
good.
No more gentleman estates,
no
more sprawl. We're going to put it all in Lihue.
Mm-hmm.
But then somebody asked the question, do we have enough water? Oops.
Good question.
Oops.
Good question.
No, we don't, right?
I know, we don't, but there's a stream there, too. Oh, yeah, the stream to the waterfall, Wailua Falls, right?
Yeah, that's Opaika, but the development is all in Lihue area,
oh,
right?
Lihue area.
And so, yeah.
Get more water over there?
No, that's what the study said, is that, and that's why they wanted to drill. And so then what they did... what their answer was is that they built a surface water treatment plant. So they uh-huh. take. So if you look up at Waialeali, when on a day that it's not raining, all the springs there's all these punavai that emerge from the base of the Blue Hole area.
Yes.
And all that water is captured by the ditches. It comes down and it goes to a treatment plant. And so much of the water in Lihue right now
mm-hmm.
and all the water that is going to service all the new development
mm-hmm.
is right now proposed to come from the Wailua River, the diverted water.
The diverted water.
Yeah. Yep.
Diverted to where before it gets to the community?
Oh, they cut it up like a butcher cuts a pig. It goes to everything from corporate ag fields to tourism floating inner tube stuff to government funded algae farms.
Oh, are bottling and selling?
Not yet. Not that surface water, but KIUC hydroelectric, KIUC cooling water for. Then it goes to sewage treatment plants. It's flushed down people's toilets. It goes whatever you can imagine.
Wow.
It's used for.
Interesting. Yep. That was the scientific studies that they came up with.
Yeah.
Because that is really nailing it down to the.
Yeah. And then the flip side of it is that so they're taking water from the North Fork, bringing it to Lihue because they've pumped all the water out of Lihue. And then at the same time, they take all of the Hulia water and they send it down to Koloa.
Oh.
Because there's not enough water in Koloa.
Oh, no.
So so Koloa is benefiting from water taken out of the Hulia River and people, fishermen and taro farmers and practitioners who might want to use that water. So anyway, so the effort by the Hui and the state process
mm-hmm.
is simply... an established process to restore the balance.
I mean contact information.
The contact information is
Hui.
That it's a Hui Ho'opulapula.
Yeah.
Navajo Puna.
Mhm.
And I believe they're about to come out with a website, and the contact person is right now is Debbie Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Kuleana landowner in Hulia and
right.
taro farmer. And we'll make sure that we get information up here at the station, so if what people call on that.
Yeah. People want to call in to the station, they call in for information on the hui. Yes. Okay. Good. Do we have like 1 minute, you said?
Well,
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, we're about
Adam,
down.
Adam, that was awesome.
Thank you very much. We're about down to 1 minute, and at the top of the hour, 6 o'clock, we will have jazz with Richard.
I saw him come in. Okay, well, Mahalo. Few last words, Adam.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's always a pleasure to share whatever you think I have of value, Auntie. So,
tell the people what they can do to go cool.
Yeah, just keep. Soon you'll begin to see information on the issue put out by the Hui. I would encourage everybody to inform themselves, educate themselves about the water and the science, the cultural aspect, and if you value that water, if you are
really.
If you are a cultural
well,
practitioner, fisherman, farmer, if you value the aesthetics of it, then you might want to get involved in the hui and help promote those values.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Mahalo. And Kekua, bless everything you guys are doing. Thank you so much.
Mahalo, Auntie.
All right. Mahalo, everyone, for listening in. Mahalo, Titale, for being there at our... switchboard over there.
Switchboard.
Okay. Thanks for spending the past hour with us. I want to wish you all again a very happy, healthy, peaceful, love-filled, goal-accomplishing year. And always remember to make sure that you pray and to talk story with Keakua every chance you get. And also to aloha ke kahi I ke kahi, love one another. And don't forget to love yourself too. Aloha, ahui ho, ma lama pono.
Celebration on the palace ground. People need to know what's going down. There's a proclamation from the power that lead. Our island nation has got to be free. You can't.